When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network. Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And in this episode, we watched Lake Mungo. Lake Mungo is a 2008 Australian psychological horror film written and directed by Joel Anderson. It centres around 16-year-old Alice Palmer, who drowns in a local dam, after which her family experiences a series of strange, inexplicable events centred in and around their home. Unsettled, the Palmers seek the help of a psychic and parapsychologist who discovers that Alice led a secret double life. At Lake Mungo, Alice's secret past emerges.
Boys, I'd like to apologise to both of you.
It's okay, you don't have to.
Okay, good.
No, I want to hear it though.
I know.
No, you don't have to.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I love that we watched this on a Monday and all day we were like, Mungo Monday. Just to try and hide our fear about
Watching make it sound fun, make it sound goofy. Yeah.
Tom had, in my mind, built this up as being horribly scary.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I don't think he actually had, I think that was me.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I've read reviews from people I know who have seen this and it's like, this movie will ruin your life type horror. So I was just on edge for 84 minutes.
Yeah, I think I know what Tom and those other people are talking about in that it will stay with you.
That's it.
So it's not that it's like so scary that you'll go, oh my God, it's the scariest thing I've ever seen. It's almost like worse. I don't know worse, but it's not good in how it's going to stick in your head forever.
The question you asked me before we were watching it was, has this haunted you forever?
Yep.
And I said, yes.
Did I ask that during?
No, it was like a couple of days before we watched it. But you were like, did this haunt you forever? And I was like, yeah. But I couldn't tell you details because it would ruin the experience of the film.
Yeah. So where my mind took that information was we've watched Haunting of Hill House. And in episode 8, there is an enormous jump scare that will haunt me forever.
Yes. Right.
Like it's the biggest one I've probably ever experienced in anything I've watched.
Correct.
So Lake Mungo didn't unfold at all the way I thought it would.
No.
Because there's no cheap tricks about it, really.
No.
There aren't any jump scares that I can remember. It's all just...
The closest thing to a jump scare is that beat at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the beach.
I don't know if I'd even... Yeah, I don't think I'd even call that a jump scare necessarily.
Because you can see it coming for a while. Yeah.
Oh, as in the camera just slowly comes in on the shape and then...
Yeah.
Well, you just know what... I don't know, I guess, what it's going to be, but you know it's a person.
Right.
Or a ghost.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And then you find out what it is and it's even more horrible.
Yeah.
That's the most horrible. That's the lingering thing you'll take away from this is that idea of, what if one day I see a ghost and the ghost is me?
Yes.
That's fucked.
It's such a clever, incredible, horror original concept.
Sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Because like seeing a ghost is horrible. A ghost looks like you is a million times worse. There's like a ghost you can go, well, that's just a ghost. But if it's me, I'm involved. This will always be my ghost.
Yeah.
It's not some Victorian era boy being like, please, Mrs. Grantham, poison me biscuits. It's like, it's worse because if you see the ghost of yourself, it's like, well, how did I die? Am I dying?
Yeah.
Am I dying now?
Am I going to eat some poison biscuits?
Is Mrs. Grantham poisoning my biscuits?
Yeah. So as soon as we finish this movie, I opened the curtains.
Mm.
And just stared at my reflection
you
in the
crazy,
fucking window.
You mad dog.
Insane man.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like I had to do it. I did it for 5 seconds and I was just like, yeah, fuck.
Yeah. This movie. Yeah. Well, I actually FaceTimed my twin brother and just screamed at him.
Anytime you see him now, you're like, fuck, oh, fuck.
Oh, ow, oh, Jono.
Can't believe I'm going to die less handsome. Just that's slightly.
That, I think you've talked to about this before to us, yeah, where it's like that idea of like him just suddenly coming to visit but not telling you that he's going to visit.
It would be the worst thing he could ever do.
He yeah. Would he ever do it?
He's done it for my parents. Oof. And got some good tears, but I was in on it. Like, he needed me to help facilitate.
Yeah.
Would he do it for me? He could. He would get, you know, Holly to do it, help him out.
So I think
I kind of hope he never does.
Yeah, you've got to have that conversation with Holly where it's like, if there's a surprise in the works, you yeah. have to tell
him. Let me know. I'll act surprised. I'll do the whole thing, yeah. but I need to know so I don't
kill him.
Kill him or shit myself or
yeah.
some or both probably. Yeah. Both. Yeah. yeah. So, all right. So, Mungo, one, way too close to home. This is in our state.
Yep.
This is in Victoria.
Yeah.
There are points in that movie where the psychic mm. has all those recorded tapes. And there's just like, Geelong is there. I'm like, right. oh, I know that. Oh, I know that town. I've yep. been there. Yep. Oh, Geelong. Oh, good. Yeah. Right.
And then to add to that, it's the mockumentary style. So, it's not even like, oh, this is set in Victoria. Like, oh, this is Victoria. We're watching footage that yep. was...
The narrative device of that mockumentary is... so well done and well maintained.
Mm.
It just feels like you're watching an episode on ABC, which is one of our sort of local networks here that does like a lot of like little short documentaries about like an event.
Yep. Right.
Like
right.
a crime document. Like even just the news footage and the way the reporters are reporting on that news footage. I've seen that news footage 1,000 fucking times.
Yeah.
Like it is the attention to detail, the level of realism and authenticity
mm-hmm.
just adds because it's not trying to, it doesn't try to shock you. It just tries to be like, hey, this is a real thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just quietly, like you summed up perfectly before, Sean. You said there's no tricks. It doesn't try to trick you because it's already tricked.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
been like, look how believable this all is.
Yeah,
yeah. Good, you're in.
It's
yeah.
so authentic.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, you've watched it like 4 or 5 times now, like a yeah. maniac.
Yeah.
you probably would know this. Is Lake Mungo an actual place that exists?
I have never looked that up.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. See, I'm on the one hand, have they fucked tourism there? But on the other hand, people are like, nah, I want to check it out. Now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would never want to go there.
You want to go to the Pillager, but now you won't go to Lake Mungo.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen a film about the Pillager. I haven't had to fucking think about it when I go to sleep. It's different. It feels different.
Yeah. Well, Tom and I were discussing this before. Lake Mungo, the location itself, is the perfect location because it's not actually a lake. It was a lake. Now it's just a dry bed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is like, that's the perfect symbolism for Alice, for this girl who is no longer.
Feels wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also one of those great things where I've seen it several times and there's great bits all throughout it where they show you a ghost and you're like, holy shit. And then they go, no, it wasn't a ghost. It was the son, you know, pretending so that his mother would, because he knew that his mother really wanted to exhume the body because she was worried they hadn't identified the body correctly.
Yeah.
So he gave her a reason. And, and you know, you have that great line she says, which is like, I don't think he actually even knows why he did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the great thing about things like mockumentaries is that you don't need you can explain subtext through text by having one character talk about another character and explain their actions and the psychology behind it. And it really works well. And this actually utilizes it quite a lot, but it's always really satisfying.
Yeah.
Because it's like, because normally you have that character, like the boy, he explains his actions. Yep. Did it for mum. Rah, rah, rah. And then part of you is like, okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then the mum says, I don't think he fully knows why he did it. And you're like, yes, that is it. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, but the that stuff's really great because you get all these little ghosts and then they solve them and then they present you with another thing and then they solve it and they present you with another thing and then they solve it. And then at the end of the movie, you get that brilliant reveal where they go through all of the videos, all of the photos again and show you that Alice is actually in every single one of them.
Yeah.
But not where you've been led to direct
It's really powerful.
And having watched it several times, she's in it from the start. So the film opens with a family photo of them standing out in the front of the house. And at the end, they show you that photo and she's standing in the window.
Yeah.
They haven't added her in. She's in, if you're paying attention, she's in that photo
it's
the whole way through.
Extremely clever composition.
Yes.
Because even the main one they initially go with where it's like, oh, look, she's there. She's very obviously there.
Mm.
And it's later revealed to be the brother doing some old school Photoshop sort of techniques.
Yes.
Yep.
But she's in the back corner, but it's they just guide your eye.
Yeah.
Yep. So you don't see it.
No, they trick you.
There's only one that I picked up in the whole thing, but it wasn't even her. It was the other guy hiding in the frame.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the other thing that does help with that is that this is 2008. So the footage, and this is a complaint some people have, which, you know, fair. Some of the footage and the sound is really terrible.
Yeah.
Which does help to disguise those images that they're there. However, for that garden one, she is very clearly there. Like, it's just that you do not see her.
No, you're not looking at her.
Yeah.
When that came up this time, I was like, oh, yeah, nah, she's deaf. Because every time I watch this movie, I always, like, I'm watching it and I get, I've watched it multiple times. I don't know why. I think I'm a psychopath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And I get sucked into the frame. And this time I was like, no, I'm going to actively look for her. And I clocked straight away. I'm like, oh, I wonder if any of the boys will notice. And none of you did. And I'm like, because I thought you would because you spotted the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'd never seen him the first couple of times I watched it. And I was like, oh, Sean's going to spot her in all these.
No.
I think that one particular though.
Yes.
The backyard one. It's so far over obvious what they've done with that one. To the point where you're like, well, that's just like, there's no ambiguity at all. It's just there. Right. Like, what are they going to do with this? This is interesting. So your eye never actually leaves her.
No.
You don't scan the backyard at all.
No.
Because why would you? You've got the thing.
Yeah.
And when you're told, oh, it's fake.
Yeah.
And they show it again. You're like, oh, well, I know it's fake.
Yeah. And the first time you see it, you're studying it for ambiguity. You'd be like, can this somehow not be her? And you're looking going, no, it's her.
Yeah.
And you're like, shit, that's come in quick and early, you know? Yeah. And then the second time when they show it and you're like, oh, I can see what he's done there. Yeah. And it's like, but you're still never looking that back.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. It's just so, it's so well crafted and the acting is so fucking good.
The dad, man.
Mm-hmm.
That motherfucker.
Russell.
There's the porch light thing.
Yeah.
Kills you. Yeah. Why do you leave the porch light on? And it's just like, just in case she comes home.
Yeah.
And then it's the, I love the direction of this is perfect and the editing. They just hold on it. It's a great documentary thing.
Yeah.
Don't cut away so quickly. They say something big, hold that frame for like another 4 or 5 seconds and like you just start to see him break.
Yeah. You get that reaction.
Yeah. The reactions are awesome. And even just the little side players, like the dad's friend at work, who's like just brings this really emotional, quiet performance to it.
Yeah.
The cop's great. Everyone's fucking great.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's, even the couple that film the video that undoes Matt later in the piece. I just, they're so real.
Yeah.
In fact, they kind of are excitedly talking over one another. She's and then Doug, oh yeah, and then I, like, yeah, you know, I'm on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the, like, it's just like, the performances in this are perfect. And also because there's no one in it that I recognize.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like,
crucial.
Oh, there's Sam Neill or there's Eric Banner.
Yeah. Did we talk about this when we did Ghostwatch, where Judi Dench was watching Ghostwatch?
Right.
And she was so immersed in it and was like freaked out by it. But then like the psychiatrist character who's with Parky, she goes, I just worked with that actress.
Yes.
And she called her up and was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, Ghostwatch is a nice example because I did want to talk about the mockumentary style of it. So Ghostwatch is a really good example of similar, slightly different, but pretty on song with that. Yep. And I was trying to think of any others because obviously there's found footage, which is in the same ballpark, but I actually think it's different because this is happening after the fact. We're getting it's clearly edited and it's put together really well. And again, it delivers that authenticity through one, they never go for the cheapness. Like, I love that. And like for this setup, they could have gone for some cheap scares at any point. It was primed for it. Any photo, they could have something ghoulish. They could have had jump scares at any point, really, in any of the video footage.
Yeah.
They never did. They never did, which added to the authenticity and genuineness of it. But the only other really horror mockumentary that I could think of other than Ghostwatch was What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd love to do that for this show.
Wow. But it's the same thing, is that it layers in an authenticity to something that is just ridiculous.
Insane, yeah.
I do like, there was a point where it kind of got overused for a bit, but like mockumentary in horror is really interesting because like Blair Witch is found footage, as you said, it's completely different. Like mockumentary is comedy because it's in the title, it's mockumentary. To take a documentary format and just and present a horror story in that format, it's like the book, the World War Z book. It's not the film, but the way that book is written just adds this layer of like gravity and truth to it because it's just a series of interviews with people that just feel like this is how you would really how human beings would deal with ghosts.
Yeah. It's just genuine people.
Yeah.
And like the authenticity of this whole thing, like they don't hold back on the tragedy of it at the start.
It's overwhelming.
It's super overwhelming. The part that really got me was the porch light thing, but also when the dad talks about
is it the reversing backwards thing?
No, that's
so good, that detail, though.
No, it was actually when he's talking about confirming the body.
Oh, it's
and he has that line like, oh, that's the role of a dad. And you're like, no, that never should be the role of a dad.
That's heartbreaking.
And he's like, June couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, and that's okay. And he goes, in hindsight, that might not have been good for her.
But for closure. But then they show you the body. And I think, Damo, you said, well, no, I think the mum made the right call.
Yes, like, that is horrific.
It's so bad.
Closure is when you give that body to the mortician and they clean it up.
Yeah.
And they make it look like a fucking human
make
again.
Make it look like your daughter again.
Yeah. It's brutal. And you see that a couple times.
Yeah.
A couple too many.
Yeah.
One time in particular.
Yeah.
And then, to just jump back to what you guys were talking about with the reversing. Another thing I really loved in this whole thing was the amount of details. Like, not necessarily details that are relevant to the plot, but they just made a richness of the story in the world.
Yeah.
Like the reversing, like that actually never really played out in the plot.
No.
But so good to add it in because, again, we're talking about, this is a mockumentary. So having weird little things like that, you'd have that. Like the son taking a photo every day of his backyard. Like that was another one that I thought.
And he was really doing good. That before she died.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Just weird. Like even just like little details, like they interview very briefly the photographer guy who trains him up and teaches him photography. They interview like the boyfriend and her friend intermittently here and there. They interview like Matt's mate, who's just in the shearing shed.
Yeah.
And he's just like, it's just a snapshot of Matt's life.
Yeah.
And it's like they all feel like real people. And I don't know whether it's because we are from, like, I'd love to know if anyone listening to this from overseas, and I know it's sort of got a bit of a cult following now overseas. I think it was on Shudder, and I think there's been a Blu-ray release in the UK.
Yeah.
Anyone who's not from Australia, please email us and just let us know whether the authenticity hits as hard for you as it does for us.
Yeah, big time. You mentioned the photographer. That one's particularly good because the photographer guy mentions that he's teaching him his tips and tricks.
Yeah.
And then not long after you learn, he's used a trick to put her in a photo. Yeah,
that is lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another detail, the mum entering people's homes.
Yeah.
Like, again, that doesn't play out for a story beat necessarily. It's just, well, I mean, it feeds into the theme, which is basically, I kind of was trying to, I'm like, I want to write this theme. I want to try to get it down because I know it's to do with grief, but to just say, oh, the theme's grief, that's not good enough. We need to go, if we're storytellers, we need to get that theme down.
Mm.
So for me, I write is how grief can warp our perspective and our thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so all of them are doing things that they probably wouldn't normally be doing except they're going through grief. Like the son, you know, doing these things, like how the mum says, I don't know, I don't think he knows why he's really doing it. It's because he's grieving.
Yep.
This is his outlet. The mum entering other people's homes, and she has that awful, wonderful, tragic line of like, I just wanted to be in someone else's life for a little bit.
Yeah. It's and even the friend mentions that like people in the town knew it was happening.
Yes.
And we're just like, oh, okay. Like
they kind of gave her a pass.
All right.
Yeah.
And you know, that Matt didn't want to talk about that. No one wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
And even like just on that simple bit of old mate's coworker being like, yeah, he came back to work and it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like I didn't really know what to say to him because it felt like he shouldn't have been back at work.
Yeah. Her friend's got that great thing too. But does she say, I never knew she had secrets and her secrets had secrets?
Yes.
Oh, the fact, Alice had secrets. She kept the fact she had secrets secret.
That's it. Yeah.
And here's another thing I liked and I wanted us to talk about was Alice's character, because I think they do the perfect journey for her character. At the start, we kind of dismiss her early on as like, oh, well, she's just the victim.
Just a teenage girl.
She's just a teenage girl. Yeah, okay, she died. That's what we really need to know about her character. And it works perfectly because part of this is also revealing the complexities of people, and that Ali's life becomes so much more complex as it goes on to like areas you never would have thought. Obviously, like with the neighbors.
The affairs with the neighbors
is awful. And obviously what she experienced when she did go to Lake Mungo, like, huge.
And with the tapes when she goes to see, is it Roy?
Ray. Roy's the photographer guy.
Ah,
right. When,
but the reveal that she had been to the psychic that they had hired, and he's, and at that point, like for a split second, you're like, why didn't you say anything? And then he literally explains in the next scene and you're like, yeah, I get it. When you're like, damned if I do, damned if I don't.
You have a split second where you're like, what a fucking prick.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, no.
No.
And I also had the thought of like, because he had a line earlier on about, he tells people, oh, well, death isn't the end. It shouldn't be that scary. And I'm like, oh, fuck, did he set her up to like kill herself or something like that?
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that wasn't the path it took because what we got was so much worse.
Yeah. It's just, and that's the thing is it's like, well, did someone drown her? No. She just died.
Mm.
Yeah.
But she knew about it for months before it happened.
Yeah.
And it's just even that there's that heartbreaking bit where they've learned that information, and then it's after the brother's gone on the trip and they have footage of her in the house again. And it's that one of her standing over the bed. You've got earlier in the film, June talks about a dream she had where Alice was standing over the bed and she was wet.
Oh, yeah.
And then you couple that footage with June reading her diary and reading that dream about how she wakes up in the middle of the night and she feels wet and she feels heavy and so she's scared. So she goes to her parents' room and she's standing at the foot of their bed and she realizes that they cannot help her.
Yeah.
That no one can. And it's just like that coupled with that shot, and it's like that's what she, even though it's out of time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also used to perfection in Hill House with the bent-neck lady and Nell being haunted by herself.
Yep. Yes.
She's out of time. So that ghost appearing there is the dream that the mother has had, and then earlier the dream that her daughter has had.
Right.
And it's just, it's so powerful.
And it's Like, I literally felt like I was almost on the verge of tears this whole movie. Yeah. And, like, not even, like, yes, I felt the tragedy of it all, but it wasn't really even that. It was just, like, it was affecting me on a level beyond just me feeling sad for the characters like I do in other movies. Yep. This was, like, I'm almost feeling a little bit sad for me because something is happening here that I can't really get my head around. Yeah.
This movie gets under your skin.
Yeah.
Big time.
Massive. And part of it, I think, is the matter of factness. So, again, we have to talk about no cheap scares or anything like that, but it's not even that. Like, even that scene you just described about her the daughter appearing at the end of her bed wet and heavy and all that sort of stuff, your rendition of it was more dramatic than what we actually got on screen.
No, yeah, correct.
And, like, you weren't doing it over the top. It's just that they just, they're delivering the lines, just this matter of factness. It's stripped right back to just general human reactions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's awful. So let's jump in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Into where we scared.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a dread.
Yeah. Not in the way I thought I was going to be at all.
No, no.
In that I probably thought I was going to cop a bunch of jump scares and ruin my life. But yeah. No, it's just dread for the whole runtime, really.
Yeah.
Dread and sadness.
Dread and also a bit, for me, stress.
Yeah, stress. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm stressed with every movie we sit down to watch. But yeah, this was a different kind of stress.
Yeah, yeah. Because
it was grounded in like this authenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was even worse, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
You asked me once before you're watching. No, after we watched this, but you have asked me before. And I've told you that there are two bits in this film that just in my brain forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first one that is the scary beat is the bit where she goes to the beach and it's that grainy phone camera footage where she sees the dead, her ghost.
Yes.
And that sets off all the chains.
It's awful.
It's horrific. Mm. It's the grainy, shitty quality. It's the sound that plays when it resumes of her screaming and kind of running away.
And even the dad just quietly confirming, yep, that is her.
Yep.
Like, that's the face I saw when they pulled my daughter out of the
dam. And the bit where she's like, I don't think... Ellie knew she was going to die. And he's like, what do you think Ellie made of that? And he's like, I think she saw a ghost. I just don't think she realized it was her.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. But the bit that lingers with me and scares me, haunts me, I don't really know what the word is the final sequence, which is the beautiful bit of June goes to see Ray one last time to walk through the house to make sure Alice's ghost is gone. Because they feel like after coming back from Lake Mungo, they don't feel like she's in the house anymore.
Yeah.
Interspersed with one of Alice's sessions with Ray. Doing the same thing where they're both walking through the house and June's like, oh, she's gone. She's not here anymore. And they move on and they're moving on with their lives. And then you learn, or it's implied through Alice's thing, is that, no, she's still in the house. She's just alone now.
Yes.
And it's so awful. It's like, no. Right. It's
tragedy on tragedy.
And just the fact that it's just these, they perfectly line up. And when the first time I saw it and that starts happening, you just get chills.
Mm.
And then it ends with, there's no one here anymore. And you get that, they show you that photo of her standing in the window. Yep. It's just, she was there the whole time and she's still there now. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I got chills now.
Ghosts, man. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
But you mentioned Hill House as well, and something I wanted to bring up is that there is some similarities here. I'm not accusing Flanagan of anything, but just naturally when you're talking about grief, there's some really interesting parallels. Most obviously the Bentneck lady and her seeing her own ghost.
Yep.
And it's such a good tool. Like, it's so scary and powerful and inevitable, I think, is what really gets me, is that there, it's almost like, it's like a time loop kind of twist.
It's the, they flag it early in the film where the mum has that great line where she's like, death is the most stupid and mean machine there is. It just keeps going.
Yeah, that's a great line.
Just roll, and then you're like, it is. She sees it and it's just like, she feels like she's going to die. She sees herself dead. And just for the rest of that time, she's like, cool, I'm going to die.
Yep.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
That's fucked, boys. I would like to apologize. I think I do need to. Sorry for putting you through that, Sean and Damo.
Here's the thing, though. It's a really good movie. Like, at one point, we had to pause it so I could go to loo. And I just wanted to come back and keep watching. Like, I needed to see the end of it.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about the most ridiculous part about this film, which is that the filmmaker made it and never made another movie and is basically done one interview since.
Right.
And just is respect. He's just gone.
Yeah.
He ruined everyone's lives and fucked off.
Right. And you've got some big names, you guys were telling me, you've got some big names who talk very positive about this film, including Mike Flanagan.
Yeah. Yep.
Including Stephen King and Joe Hill.
I think Edgar Wright's talked about it as well.
Yeah.
Like, surely just on that alone, you'll be able to get funding that, oh, by the way, these bigwigs are talking up my movie.
It's possible he just doesn't want to.
I don't think he does.
Yeah. Well, I think he's told the story that he wanted to tell.
Yeah.
He's made a couple of short films like after this, mm-hmm. but like, he's got 3 credits on IMDb. Right. One of them is this, and the other two are these 2 short films, yeah. of which they have no information on.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just like, apparently, yeah, he just doesn't do interviews. Maybe, boys, he's haunted. Like, this is the thing. Like, it's so ridiculous. Maybe that adds to it, is that he's just like, you know, did it and gone.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe he saw, he was on the beach one day and, you know.
Could be.
Yeah. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
What else do they do?
Yeah, what are you supposed
to
do?
Yeah, yeah. Like, Alice, there was nothing she could have done.
Yeah, she goes to the psychic.
But if this is that inevitable time loop, there is nothing she could have done.
Can't win.
Like, if anything, she's a fucking hero for just like accepting it and trying not to like
fall apart
or make her family feel grief before they needed to. Or
do you reckon there's like an element of like, you know, she goes to the dam that day and she's like, oh, it's today. Do you reckon?
I hope not for her sake, but
that's horrible. What the fuck, Tom? But also maybe.
Yeah. And then as for her family, like we sort of said, the theme of this film is that, yeah, if grief, how you handle grief and the way it kind of can warp your thinking and your the way you live your life for a short time. So for all of them, I really don't, like, the son making the videos, I can kind of get, and it, like, it arguably did help the mum and did meant they exhumed the body she knew for certain.
Yep.
That no one had made some horrible, horrible mistake.
Oh, yeah. It got the wheels spinning.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then, like, even them going to the psychic, like, he never was at any point a false con man or anything like that. So
if you hadn't gone to the psychic, you wouldn't have then found out that your daughter also went to the psychic.
Right. Yeah. You wouldn't have got the history and learnt necessary details about who she was and what she went through.
Yeah. You wouldn't have found out that the neighbours who get away with it.
Yeah.
They're in the wind.
Right. Yeah, they're dogs. Tom.
Yes.
He said, did she go to the lake that day and know that? That was the day.
The dam. Yeah.
But like the thing that her dad says is she saw a ghost and maybe wasn't even sure it was her. Do we think that she did know that it was her?
Maybe
and
not.
On top of that, did she also look at that body? Because I don't think you would be thinking clearly in the moment.
No, she never said.
You wouldn't look at it and go, that's a drowned body as well, would you?
True.
It just look like a disgusting sort of face.
I think she knew it was her.
You think so? Yeah.
And here's why. Because they talk about how afterwards she did the ritual of burying her favorite, most best belongings.
Yeah, okay.
She had to be doing that because they're like, what, like, I love that she even did a ritual. Like, already she's trying to process it and do something about it.
Yeah.
And then she starts. And then it's like, because she's still got that feeling of dread and feel like she's dying. And that happens even before she sees the ghost. So it's almost like that's just an omen being like, hey, yep, this is it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's why she also keeps the videotape. Because I think she knows she's on her way out, so she's like, well, I've got to keep this, because if they have it, they have it. And I'm going to let them have that part of me.
Yep.
I don't know. It reminds me of very different tonally, but there's a series of, like, 2 books with, like, authors collaborating called, I think it's called Machine of Death.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, volume 1 and volume 2. And basically, they've got, like, contributions. And the premise is there's a box, and you put money in the box. I think it's, like, $5. And it prints out a bit of paper, and on that bit of paper is how you die. Oof. But it might say something like spiders, or it'll be like house fire.
Hmm.
Or it could say something like bliss or Tuesdays, like, and then all these authors write these like short stories around like how you die. And it's that kind of thing is like, it's a core principle of Big Fish. If you knew, would you want to know? Like if that information was available to you, would you want to know?
Are you asking us that right now?
Maybe.
For me, definitely not.
Nah, I'm good. Thank you.
No. It's the weekend effect.
Yeah, fuck no.
Once it's Sunday and you know Monday's around the corner and you're ready, you have to go back to work.
Yeah.
All I can think about on Sunday is the fact that I go back to work.
Yeah.
If I knew when my death was, every day would be Sunday. Yeah. I would never not be able to think about it.
What if...
No.
I could guarantee you that it says...
Tom, no.
You're 95 years old and you're in your sleep.
Even then, I don't think I want to know.
Yeah, I don't think I want to know.
Would you take more risks?
I mean, yeah, you probably would. That's a good
question. Yeah, I guess you would.
You'd feel bulletproof. Mm. Then you would think, can I trust the box?
Yeah, yeah.
For what reason would you trust the box?
Been right before.
Has it though? Like, how do you know that? Someone's told you. Someone's like, put $100 in here. Trust me. $5.
Yeah.
That guy's making a killing.
To be fair, the premise is that everyone accepts that the box is accurate.
Should we be doing like an arts and crafts thing now, making a box and just going around?
Yeah.
Collecting some money.
And get some cash.
Yeah.
And it just says things like sadness, just really abstract concepts. Yeah, yeah. Sadness, yeah. Grief. Sick? Question mark.
So this one doesn't give you the date.
No, it doesn't tell you when. It just sells. It just in these books. Yeah, it's just the method.
Yeah,
and some of them are like some of them are just like ripped apart by wolves, and it's like a guy who lives in the city is like, what the fuck? I'm never getting ripped apart by wolves.
Right.
But then he gets ripped apart by wolves.
Yeah.
It's like, it's good.
Great concept.
It's a very good concept.
Yeah.
There are some like really nice, like bleak ones. And then the eaten by wolves one is very funny.
Right.
There's also one where it's like these friends do it and they want to share what one is. And one of them gets like a really embarrassing one that's like comes to death or like blow job. And it's just like, I can't ever tell people that's how I die.
Yeah.
So they just make them like, oh, it says thunderstorms. Anyway, we're very far off topic.
Well, let's jump back in and go to how would we do?
Now, have we seen our own death? Are we Alice or are we what?
Yeah, I think we have to be Alice, don't we?
Would you say Alice is our protagonist? I guess you do.
Well, no. The family are the protagonists. It's the three of them. It's the mum.
Yeah, it's the mum. You're right.
But I think the issue is that like this movie isn't... Like this story isn't something where we can like insert ourselves to be like, how would we process grief?
Yeah, this is a very tough one.
So I think you phrase it as we go for a walk along the beach down here, which you two fucking maniacs wanted to do when I suggested this movie, and I was like, you will not want to walk along the beach.
Yeah, but not, you know, we were brave. It's just that it was cold.
It was very cold.
Cold and dark.
Yeah.
And raining a bit.
Yeah, it was raining.
If it had been sunny.
Oh, if it had been sunny and daylight and, you know, hot.
Yep.
I would have been there in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gone for a swim.
Yeah. No, maybe not. Well, the water's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, that's where my doppelganger probably is.
Yeah.
It's just going to come out of the ocean.
So I guess, we see a ghost. We get our bare neck ladies.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there's nothing you can do, mate.
No, this probably has to be
the family. And the only real decision there is, okay, we're the family, we're grieving, the house is haunted. We pack up and leave.
Yeah. There's no winning in, like.
No.
From the get-go, this is inevitable, and it's just about how you, like, again, the whole movie is how you deal with it.
So I think if I saw it and I was like, fuck, that's what that is, I'd be like trying to find out more about it. So then I could be like, okay, I can't avoid it, but I can basically get as much information as possible so I can wake up and be like, don't think it's today. Cool. I'm going to go and punch a man in a bakery.
Yeah. I mean, depends how specific it is. If you were to see your ghost and it's you drowned, you just pack up your life and move to the desert.
Well, no, because I think it'd be like, actively, isn't it that fulfilling prophecy thing? If I tried to avoid the death would come quick.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I think for this sake, it's...
You do love a bath, Tom.
Yeah.
Get drowned in the bath.
That's it. It's the time machine fallacy where...
Fuck.
If something happens that causes you to go back in time, you can't undo that thing that happened because that thing made you go back in time.
Well, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You are fucked.
We're okay
though. Damo and I survive.
Well, here's the thing. So you said you'd try to find out as much information so you could, you know...
Not prevent it, but just, I guess, be ready for it.
I think I'd actually do the opposite. I'd be like, okay... Popping that to the back of my mind, just going to live every day the best I can.
True.
Yeah, you know what? Go see a hypnotist and extract that from your mind.
Yep.
Forget it.
Egg it.
It's basically what we generally do with the actual fact that we're going to die, is that it's not that you ever really forget it. It's always back there somewhere, but you can't focus on it all the time because then you couldn't live your life.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
So you know what? I'd egg it. We would egg it, wouldn't we?
Egg boys.
Big old egg boys.
Yeah.
Good. Feel strong.
Yeah.
Feel invincible, like I will never die. Oh, no. They hypnotized me too good. They removed the concept of death from my brain.
Also, eggs aren't strong, buddy.
Eggs are the most fragile.
Eggs can crack. We picked a bad one there. Should have picked a wombat's ass.
Well, that is all the scaredy talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
And if you scaredy listeners would like to suggest a movie, get into contact with us, all that stuff, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at scaredyboys, or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Treat.
Stay scared, everyone.
Mungo Monday.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace.
96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.